Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
So I'm always thankful for the people of Stonebridge United Methodist Church. I'm especially thankful right now. Anna Snavely gave me a Snickers during communion. So this is going to be a great sermon, FYI. I may not be as mean as I normally am during sermons because I had a Snickers bar, but that's pretty cool when you see yourself on the video, right? I don't know, Dave Neely was in here. He was helping out with communion. Dave, it's kind of cool to see yourself on video screen, right? I mean, the Tiltons are back there. They saw their daughter, up on screen. It's just, I don't know, something about you see yourself at a football game. You could be texting. You could not even be paying attention to the game. All of a sudden you realize you're on ESPN. You know, it's just neat to be validated. You know, your existence is validated in some way that you see yourself and you're contributing and you're a part of something. It was really interesting. When I was up in Kansas, we did this All Saints Sunday, and they were reading off the names. And, you know, it's kind of a, sometimes a sad situation when you kind of have to put a name to the person who is not in your life physically anymore. When you have to really, you know, you remember again, I can't just call that person up. But this youth that I was working with who had lost his grandmother that year, very early in the year, but the church mentioned the grandmother's name. And so I went up afterward and I said, you know, how are you doing? And she said, my grandmother's name was spoken in church. It was like this really big deal. It was because she was affiliated with that, right? She knew somebody. It's, you know, it's the whole thing, kind of like when you see yourself on a screen, when you see somebody else on a screen that you know, you want to call everybody you know and say, I just saw my uncle on TV. And everyone's like, who cares? But for you, it matters. It was kind of the equivalent I think of is the Allen American used to be the paper for Allen. And when I was on the Allen Eagles football team, didn't play. And, so they would do a recap of the game on Saturday morning, and they would do the leading tacklers and the offensive and defensive MVPs, and so I would see my friends' names in the paper a lot. Like I said, I wouldn't see my name in the paper very often, but it would just be kind of cool because it was like this, you know, you mattered. You meant something. You were somebody because your name was out there. You saw yourself. Your existence was validated in some way. In a lot of ways, All Saints Sunday does that. It does it to recognize those people who may not have gotten a whole lot of recognition while they were on this earth. But in one way or another, for you, the people who have gone before led you to where you are. They taught you a skill. They taught you, more importantly, about the love of Jesus. They instructed you in the gospel or how to be a great father or mother or friend or whatever it was that they paved a way for you to do. So let's take a moment. Let's pray for them again. Let's pray. Gracious God, we want to give you thanks for the people who have paved the way of faith for us, those millions and millions of Christians that have gone before us throughout history to lead us to a place where we can worship safely today and we can worship freely, but also those people who remind us that worshiping is a dangerous activity. It is one that stirs up the spirit and calls people into things that they are not equipped for or prepared for. And those people we remember when we read the names of the saints, people who inspire us, people who we love. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. So the newspaper of early Christianity is always kind of interesting to see. We can find this in the letters of Paul and the people who wrote in Paul's name and Timothy and those letters in the back of the New Testament. And so if you look at it, I'm going to put on the screen just some phrases from 1 Corinthians 4, which is when Paul ends a letter, he usually gives thanks to somebody or says, hey, say hi to this person. You know, it's kind of an early game of telephone. And so we have Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a beloved brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant in the Lord. He is coming with Onesimus, the faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. There's more that you'll see in there. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you. He is always wrestling in his prayers on your behalf, so that you may stand mature and fully assured in everything that God wills. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. Now, I don't know about when you get to heaven, but there's always kind of a game that you play about, you know, the questions that you're going to ask people when you get to heaven. You get to meet, you know, maybe it's Ben Franklin or Mickey Mantle or Marilyn Monroe, whoever, whatever your heroes are that you get up to heaven. And I always kind of imagine that they're going to be some really cool people, but I imagine these people, when they sit down to the great heavenly feast with all the famous people of the world, have a spiritual trump card of like, yeah, you may have invented electricity or found out about electricity or invented the light bulb, but I was in the Bible. And that just matters, right? You can see these people have Wikipedia pages, even though they're really not anybody important. And Peter and Mary and Martha and all the great heroes of the Bible that we read about, and you can go into cathedrals around the world and you see their pictures beautifully painted with yellow circles around their heads because they're revered, because they were in the Bible, because they're part of the story of God. We've lifted them up into highly dignified, newsworthy people. But they're nobodies. Epaphras, Tychicus. I mean, those aren't exactly household names, but when Paul is mentioning your name, it means you're doing something. It means you're out on the front lines of faith against a world that doesn't really recognize the church at this point, and you're doing something. And Paul's thanking you for this. And you recognize all these are lay people. These are not ordained clergy people. These are not superheroes. These are fishermen. These are net makers. These are the hated tax collectors of the world. Some of them are teenagers. But their names are in the Bible because they did something. They responded to the call of Christ. And it's a really fascinating thing. It's one of the things we're doing this Giving Thanks sermon series in November. Obviously, we're going up to Thanksgiving. And we have, you know, my family at Thanksgiving will go around the table and we'll say one thing we're thankful for that year. And so it's really nice that one meal out of the entire year, we actually admit that we're thankful for something. So we thought, why not expand that to four Sundays? And if it's only 4 hours of things that we're thankful for in Stonebridge United Methodist Church. And one thing I want to say is thank you for you. For the people that you may be sitting here every Sunday thinking, in this church, I'm a nobody. In the kingdom of God, really, what have I done? I'm a nobody. But Jesus tells a different story. He tells a different story in Luke 9. You know, you remember the Peters and the Andrews and the Simons and all the people who were part of the early movement of Jesus were nobodies. But in chapter 9, verse 1, says, then Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. He said to them, take nothing for your journey, no staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, nor not even an extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. Wherever they do not welcome you, as you are leaving that town, shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the villages, bringing the good news and curing diseases of everywhere. Now remember, these are the superheroes who have paintings with yellow circles around their heads. Now that we think that they could do anything, right? We read about them further on in Acts, and they're healing people and curing people. We can't ever be those people. Now, if you want to recognize either where they're coming from, or if you think you're just incredibly awesome and you want to be knocked down a peg, here's a great verse for you. This is Luke chapter 10, verse 21. It says, at that same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. So for those of you who consider yourself spiritually mature or maybe spiritually inclined, I'd like to apologize that you are no longer wise or intelligent in this world. But that's not exactly what he's saying, though, because Jesus continues to call people in ways that they're just totally unprepared for. I mean, this Luke 9 passage in which the non-wise, non-intelligent disciples are sent out is very early on. And then he continues in Luke 10, and it's not only the 12 that he sends out, but he sends out 70 to go out and proclaim the message of the gospel. See, because after that Luke 10:21 passage about not being wise and intelligent, he comes back down in verse 24 and says, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And that's what distinguishes the non-wise, non-intelligent from, well, let's just call them the people who have power. See, we're writing in a Greek a Greek-based philosophy here. We're arguing with the people who have wisdom and intelligence of this world. I'm not saying, and Jesus isn't saying, that the PhDs and CEOs and presidents of the world can't be spiritual people. I hope that they are. I hope they are well-grounded in the gospel of Jesus Christ. But the people that Jesus is calling are people who see a difference between the wisdom and intelligence of this world and the wisdom and intelligence of a higher power called God. Because it's one thing when Jesus calls you out of the masses and says, go and do. And these disciples go and do. And they go out and they proclaim at risk to their own lives to do this. And they're not wise. They haven't had school like other people do. Rob Bell tells this great illustration about Jewish school and that they weed you out at different points. They study the Torah, and if you're not the best of the best out of the Torah group, then you don't get to go on to the prophet's study. And so most of these people who are fishermen and tax collectors and Jewish people who are not rabbis have not been named the best of the best. So they're not wise. They're not intelligent. They may not even necessarily be well-spoken. They're certainly not theological trained. This story happens very early on in Jesus' ministry, very early on into the disciples being called to be disciples. They haven't been at a church for 25 years, soaking in every word and studying every disciple Bible study. They're simply called because Jesus knows that they have followed. They have left their home. They have left everything behind them. They have realized there is something wiser and more intelligent and more true and faith-oriented to following Jesus and what Jesus calls us to than the wisdom of the world. The wisdom that tells me to either have a lot of money or have a lot of power or whatever that wisdom may be, these people have realized that a higher power has called us to this. And no matter how unskilled I am, no matter how uneducated I am, no matter whatever deformity or deficiency I have according to the world's standards, God calls me worthy through Jesus Christ. Because through Jesus Christ, I have the Holy Spirit. And through the Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible. And we can do all things, even go door to door, even go out into Samaria in Luke 10. Now, Samaria was the enemy territory, remember? And we can do that. And we have done that. That's one of the reasons why we want to give thanks to you, is because a mass amount of dedicated, spiritually mature lay people is about a million times more beneficial than one dynamic clergy person. There's very little that one dynamic clergy person can actually do on the ground level, the grassroots movement, outside of Inspire. And that's, you know, that's why church structures are set up. You can even see the great evangelist Paul goes in Acts 15 to James and some of the other early church leaders and to get his message approved. But the funny thing is so James approves the message. Peter says, yeah, that sounds good. But he's been doing it for 9 years. Now, it's always better to ask forgiveness rather than permission, right? And so if you've got an opportunity to go spread the gospel mission and you haven't quite gotten the permission to do that, go. Jesus is giving you this permission. Jesus is sending you out unequipped as nobodies. Because in Jesus, you are somebody. Isn't that why we come to church? Don't we come to church to get inspired? Don't we come to church to find meaning and truth? Don't we come to church to find community? And in that community, in that church, we find hope. We find promise. We find something greater than ourselves. This promise of peace. A promise of a future. A promise that there is a great banquet of love waiting for us. Isn't that why we come here? And we come here to get inspired and to find out where it is that we're going to make part of that come true. See, I want to say thank you. I really do. I've been here almost 6 years. I want to say thank you for the people who sing, the people who teach Sunday school, the people who serve, the people who serve communion, the people who go build houses, the people who play handbells, the people who pray, the people who give very generously. All those people, I want to say thank you for that. Did you know that I'm doing just a rough count here? I'd say 215 to 220, maybe 230 here in worship today. There was a good percentage of people that led this worship service that were not clergy today. There were about 39 people, including communion servers and choir and everything, who made this service happen today that did not have a stole around their neck, which I own one. I just proved to you, by the way, I own a stole. Many people didn't know that. And that's what it takes. And so thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, on behalf of the clergy, on behalf of the church, on behalf of the church universal, thank you for that. Now keep doing it. There's not a lot of standstill with Jesus. Jesus goes and prays and becomes spiritually renewed, and then the disciples finally kind of catch up with him after dealing with the crowds, and Jesus says, all right, let's go. Let's get busy again. Let's keep going, because the calling doesn't stop. And I say calling, and that may be a new word for some of you. You know, we often talk, Kenan and Courtney are awesome examples of this. Right up until, you know, just a few months ago, they were considered lay people. And now they're local pastors, they're reverends, they're people who are leaders of the church. But they would always tell you that that formational ministry happened while they were lay people, because they were called. And not everyone's called to be an ordained person. Most people around the world are called in certain ways. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi who talked about your calling is found in which your skills meet the needs of the world. And so all of us, no matter how unskilled or unspoken or whatever, have something, because the Holy Spirit has given you something. The Holy Spirit has given you one thing unique to you that I can't do, and that many people in this room can't do. And so while we accept the thanks and we accept the reward, there's also this sense in which I can't stop. I can't stop because there are people who are not in this room. And they're in no room right now. You know, we give thanks for the people who have gone before us. And the great hope is that in 5 or 10 or 20 years, we'll give thanks for the people who are now who are sitting in this room who haven't been here before. For the people who we reached because we were feet that moved, that brought good news. That we were able to proclaim the hope and the kingdom of God. This great calling upon our lives. And that at one point in our lives, we were nobodies. We were just a name. And we might have gotten our name in the paper. We might have been seen on TV. We might have been famous. But through the Holy Spirit, through the kingdom of Christ, we are written in something far more beautiful than the paper or the TV, and that's the book of life. The book of life in which we get to dine with God at the great heavenly feast of hope and of promise and of love together. And so as the lay people of this church, thank you incredibly for the service and work that you do. Thank you for the money you give, for the prayers you offer up. Thank you for everything else that happens. You are what drive this church and God's ministry in the McKinney area. It is not me. It is not John. We give guidance. We give structure. We give all sorts of really wonderful things that God has empowered us to do. But you are the ones who make ministry happen. You are the ones who make disciples for Jesus Christ, and you are the ones who transform the world. Let's pray. Gracious God, we want to say thank you again for the callings on our hearts. Thank you for using us when we were tax collectors and fisher people. Thank you for using us when we were destitute. Thank you for using us when people didn't know our names. And we've learned the most important thing, that you know our names. And you call us out from the wilderness, you call us out from the crowd, and you give us a mission. A mission that is to make disciples of Jesus Christ, a mission that is to heal the nations, a mission that is to bring scriptural holiness, a mission that is to serve and build houses, a mission that is your hands and feet at work in the world. And so we ask that you would put a calling upon everybody's hearts here today, that we would be restless and that we would not be able to think without your Spirit stirring within us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. I want to call our ushers to our time of offering here as we do every offering time, we collectively combine to give of our tithes and resources. If you have not turned in an estimate of giving card for 2015 and are not embarrassed to go get it, you can find them on the back tables over there. If you are embarrassed to go get it, just get it after service and you can turn it in to us. It helps us gauge where we are spiritually as well as where we are financially for 2015, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. In fact, I think it's a responsibility to be a part of that, and so you can do that. But now we give of our tithes and finances because it is a calling of Christ that we are the ministry of Jesus, and our tithes and resources help fund the calling that we have as a church. So let us give now.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We invite you to join us in worship every Sunday morning at 9 and 10:30 in either our celebration service, which offers a blended worship style, or in The Bridge, which offers a contemporary and soulful worship style. For more information, visit our website, mysumc.org. Have a blessed day.